Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... In this episode, I'm going to talk about things we want to do. Go to the AFL footy, Australian Rules Football, go on a beautiful holiday. I was going to talk about brothels, but I really don't know enough about, to sound sensible about that. And what I'm going to talk about is... there's obviously the risk benefit. We can see the benefit. We want to do it. And so what we want to do is wind down the risk and increase the social benefit. That's, your own risk benefits, your own concern. So I want to talk about that. And that's what I'll be covering later on in the program. I suppose first I have to talk a little bit about, why I'm doing podcasts, how I'm doing it. Ask you to be a bit tolerant of the production and other things, and some sort of general problems that have sort of shaped the direction forward. So this is for a number of people. So essentially, I am a scientist, quantum physicist, sort of trained in maths and thinking. Essentially, a research scientist takes an insoluble problem and cracks it. That's the basic thing, and I'll give a few stories to put you in the mood to that a bit later on. Now, for me, it's a little special case in that with heart operation, stroke, brain damage, memorizing things, I've had to really basically I was sort of overheard the doctor saying, what the employer should be doing A, B, C, or D, and so I'll have to do A, B, C. And it's been a long, hard road. Some people have been with me. I don't think anyone's been with me. Oh, I've been with me from episode one. I've done them all. I haven't listened to them all. Technically, according to a podcast conference, not podcasts, they're voice memos where you speak and publish. That's a voice memo podcast. It's got some production value, some respect for the audience, and I have none, because in general it's about learning to speak and put things together and memorize them. And there have been sort of things of getting to breathe, get sentences together, not having pauses. So initially when I did podcasts, I was using the pause function for when I fell silent, it would cut the silence out automatically. Still sound absolutely atrocious. And so it might sound, so I've got it all together, but I then sort of think, I'm going to do a podcast. I'll have to memorize such and such, such and such. And then I have I'm improving. The moment I realise I can't find a thing for a couple of times, I get a strategy up, or say putting a coffee cup down, I'll often forget where I've put it down. These are short-term things. I suppose it could be dollary and old. And when I'm doing gardening, I sort of tend to break it up over several days. I'll mow the lawn over several days, so I have to remember where the mower, little electric mower, is and how to put it out. And if I put it back in the shed each time, there's no challenge in that. So there's all that real hard yakka and sort of slow, or yakka is an Australian word for work, and it's really slow end on end. So this is why I'm up doing podcasts. Now let's talk about, we've talked about research scientists and it's problem solving, and also problem solving requires strategy. So I'd like to, in chronological order, sort of go through where it's looking dark times, and then you try and do something. It's not necessarily the solution which wins the war, but it's a solution which gets you to the next point. Either you actually practically use it, or you use it as a way of, I know something better. And so when you recount, you go back and recount, people, they've got a successful solution, everyone owns it, but indeed it's actually gone through these steps. Perhaps I'd like to go to personal experience. My father was involved. He's Australia's first computer programmer, worked on the fourth computer in the world, doing such things as square roots, matrix inversions, computer music, all these modern things. And this computer was a massive thing, taking up heaps of power, technician, and money, and attention. And the organisation running it, which is CSIR, the O came a bit later, decided that they wanted to do, essentially it was retask radar equipment, and essentially they wanted to do radar noises from space, which is radio astronomy. So what happened is he was a 17-year-old computer whiz kid, probably your original geek kid, at 17, 18, 19, for those years, 49 to 52, and they sort of manoeuvred around it, and they brought out British experts, and the British experts said, look, digital computers are stuffed. They're just a blimp, because we, the British, are going to be going along analog computing much better. You should have shut it down. And we just happened to have our paid consultants come out here saying you should shut it down. So we're going to shut down the computer and scrap it. 1952, Australia was going to go down the gurgler. But the British scientist, Trevor Pierce, he was a bit shattered, went home, and they looked at each other, a phone call, got to Melbourne University, and Dad was one of the people who unbolted the whole computer. So this would be like it would fit in a small house, not a big house now like Australia, but a small house, and put the whole thing in a truck. And this is not one of the big container trucks. This is a truck with a torp over the outside of it, in one of those trucks, and do a road trip from Sydney to Melbourne. Rebuilt the computer, got it up and running, and maintained Australian computing for 10 years going ahead. So here you've got the systems going around, and it wasn't, you know, fantastic. It wasn't world leading in that time. America went miles and miles ahead. And by the time I was born, Dad was in the States sort of shopping for the next generation computers to go into Australian Bureau of Statistics, CSIRO, and whole series of things. There are things that he was saying I recorded, but, you know, didn't get through. It's all part of that general sort of close shutdown thing. And now, the other sort of, so that's a story of a solution, not the best solution, but it's got here. And when people have closed down, shut it down, go ahead. And the sort of solutions I'm talking about is a solution to get the AFL up and running, to get Australian tourism bursting forward. We'll leave it those two things. I'm unsure about other aspects of it, trying to get it going. So trying to rearrange it. Now, what I want to do is put another word image of you. And look, when I go back to the history books, I can't find this particular operation in Vietnam, which opened a book up in, I think it was in the Bailey Library in Melbourne, and saw this fantastic diagram. So the first, it was a sequential pages of pictures, sort of American operations, Vietnamese operations, the Vietnam War, obviously. And so I'm not a warmonger or anything like that. But so the Americans were pushed up to the top of the hill, and they were arranging the troops around it and bringing everything up. And you could see these beautiful sort of curvy command control moving there. Vietnamese units around to just completely annihilate the US troops on top of the hill. And you can go, oh shit. You turn the next page, and what happens? They bring in their Chinooks and ferry them off, piss them off, and then I suppose napalm the whole lot, you know, call in friendly fire. I didn't watch against there. I had to run off to a lecture. And then I never found the book again. I never saw where this just came across. So it could be true, it may be someone's fantasy, but the general theme there is the shit's against you. There's the situation is planning at a particular direction. Now, I'll say good day to Anthony and COVID Live, and you'll begin to recognize the sort of science background and looking at problems and solving, producing, going through. And what we're looking at with COVID Live is a website, and you'll know from a website help. I hope it's been helpful. Sort of just applying style guides, sort of bringing in sort of strategic planning or whatever it is, color blindness tests, layout suggestions, all this type of stuff, coming in to try and work out what's going on. And now the overall situation, I don't know what the term is for it. It's where the people are maneuvering on the ground in a particular direction for a particular objective, and we've got to helicopter away out of the situation, or truck, bust the computer and truck it to a new location. So what's the deal, to quote Seinfeld, what's the deal with a news conference? It's not news and it's not a conference, because you know you don't get to do the conference. I think, oh, I don't know, whatever it is. However, COVID Live is collating all this data. It's coming out in splurts. It's coming out for the federal government, state government, all different times and stuff like that. And it's got a politician in the way. A politician is announcing it. Now, there is, if you look at it from the objective, on the ground strategically, if you get people habituated to always listen to a politician for terms, when the shit hits the fan and it's completely crap, people are not going to react. They'll go, and what does the politician say? And the politician says, well, the story is not, they can steer, they can maintain steering and control. That's one aspect of it. But there is another aspect. And so this objective is dispersing all the information. So for various people who love Facebook, who love little stories, who have only learnt to do that, this is great. But for data analysts, the scientists, we just want to see the spreadsheet flipping over, the numbers come up live. We just want it like a factory. You know, you've got your sensors around the factory and it's coming up live and you can see it, and you've got the sensors actually reporting on themselves. That's what we want. You know, that's an essential thing. And anything else we sort of I suppose get irritated with. So looking at this is great. Now, Australia just happens to be perfect for this, because we're 8 jurisdictions, and so there's basically a page full of interrelated data. 8 is just enough complexity to make it's sufficiently complex to require it, but sufficiently simple to have the solution. So it's just one of these things that have come together, this COVID Live, and you've got this process of these governments doing this. And wouldn't it be nice if they were responsive? And the bottom line is that you find out, just do the basic research, saying, well, look, they're not responsive because there is something else going on. And that is and you can see it in the body language and in the diagrams and things like that, that people, they're out there to look presidential. They're basically being told by their PR people how to run their PR. They're not actually running the situation, they're running their own personal PR. And so in that process, where everyone actually really knows what the story is, and you go in with a genuine suggestion, that suggestion is going to go through a whole series of knots and tying it around, it'll come out again, it will not go into any system whatsoever. Now, bear in mind, it's a crisis, so everyone's chattering. And this is why you're having the press conference, to get above the chatter. So there's a reason for that. But underneath the hood, there's this process coming along. So this, like, if you can imagine this process, this is the Vietnamese army on the ground, manoeuvring up. So you you launch an attack, they've got it all sorted. That they'll take the attack and bleed you off, and but whatever it is, they're going to take the hill. They're going to get that politician re-elected, and so there's this process here. Look, there's a similar story with testing, and sort of a lot of the breakthrough comes with a new style of testing. However, the story is with testing, and this is a game. You don't sort of go up and go, "Shit, you moron! You should be doing that." They then know you're there and sort of start shutting you off. So there's similar here with testing. So Australian testing, Australia's done too well, and so this big shutdown, and all the testing companies are in dire shit. We're going to be in shit as well, because we're not doing enough testing of other diseases. All the other diseases, we've all the sort of slack in testing has dried up, and the only money is in individual COVID testing. And so these companies are desperate to get in as many COVID tests as possible to go along. That's where the money is, the certainty is, and so it's don't test once, test once or twice. If you've got the slightest, even psychosomatic test come up, test. And of course what happens is these tests aren't free. These are a way of milking the government. And so there's no idea to do sort of go into this next thing. If you suggest a way of cheapening the test, expanding it, massively doing it, it's not going to go. Similar to the, it's not it's just the way it is. That's the structure there. They're in that direction. So we're going to try and open it up. If I can give sort of a 101 in self-interest, well, not self-interest, this is sort of reading the times and not going up and going, "Oh, why, you bastard." You just say, "Oh, you know, fireside conjecture, this could possibly mean this direction. Don't know it's for sure, I've just heard it in the wind." Sort of the idea of a conjecture, fireside conjecture, where you're not ramming it in, sort of hysterical and attracting attention to yourself, you're putting it together. But the 101 I want to do is this picture, which I'll put up on the blog, of a politician, a local politician, who's particularly important in terms of getting access further forward. So our little group can't get access to the government, we can't get access anywhere because of the thinking of this particular politician. The particular picture I have is a politician in a hard hat in a theatre next to another person. Sounds normal. It looks, politicians are often in hard hats, but the theatre is a theatre which is just a normal theatre, and they're going to develop it in the future. And so the theatre itself is not a construction zone. There's doors in the back which you could just enter. It's not a construction hard hat area. In fact, if it was a hard hat area, you would perhaps have some covering on some of the seats behind it. Indeed, the question is, does a theatre normally have a atmospheric light to hold and shine on the side of the politician and the other person who's smiling with the logo, and he has a big logo, New South Wales State Government. And so what happens is, what's really interesting is that you show this to pictures, what's wrong? Everyone has become so attuned to this aggrandizement, and let's actually focus on what I can do for myself to promote forwards. The real problem is, it says that if I have a legitimate project, I'm actually not going to get it through unless I can get a photo opportunity to push it through. It's just part of the actual. So it says to, I suppose, with someone with intelligence. I'm not saying I'm mentally intelligent. So this is intelligence training. So intelligence is basically. So let's say COVID Live is by a business intelligence unit, and there is such thing as business intelligence. So there's sort of the educational feel-good graph where you graph so many months and it's happening on a minute by minute section, so you're not going to see that in a graph, or you, unless you watch a field of numbers really quickly, you don't become familiar with it. You're seeing a new, so there is a business intelligence aspect. So looking at business intelligence aspect into this, it says, it starts to put the story together that we've got a helicopter direction to go forward, and the helicopter direction is, I suppose, with this is that business intelligence is actually a intellectual activity structure. It's a hygienic way of thinking. Really, that should actually go into schools. And so the direction is to at what stage we can transfer that into schools. And obviously, it's not going to transfer into schools to the political system, because they're not. The political system is wised up. There's nothing. It's really hard going if you've got business intelligence, or you've picked off as someone who can interpret graphs or numbers or documents and actually see behind it, that it all closes down. It's a bit like sort of warning the Vietnamese that the helicopters are coming in to, I don't want to sound like sort of a warhead, or, you know, not a warhead, but a military guy or anything like that. But this is just using that analogy here. So that diagram, that picture, should be a good guide to go ahead. Now, we've gone to this, said, you know, the starting back, we'll start back into getting AFL footy matches started. Okay, and so we the actual plan to get COVID live, that's set. It really doesn't require... It requires knocking on a number of doors and combination, and if one of them answers, we'll gap to get a process to get this going forward. But it's not going to go forward. It's not going to be. They're not going to say, "Oh, for my news conference today, a very important announcement. No more news conference. You can go to COVID live." They're just not going to do that. So there is a process there. But let's get to do AFL. Training. Now, the basis of these ideas is a concept which we don't know works. And this is a new type of swab, a quadra swab, possibly with electrodes in it to check the conductivity of it, and possibly a vacuum drawer, like a straw, which can actually suck. So it goes up the nose, and especially if you've got a runny nose, it just goes up and swabs in, and it's got conductivity, and so slightly electronic stuff. So let's think ahead. Now, you hear, obviously, oh, cost, blah, 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 cost. But let's listen to it fully. And so you take someone's swab, and this is, I'm only going through this in the process. Now, you pick it up, and you then take your swab, and you peel it off into four, and you've got, I'll call it the alpha, beta, gamma, eta, A, B, C, D swabs. And now what happens is that you peel off the A, put all the A's of 50 together in an area, and you're going to do a test of 50 at once in one test. Therefore, you're going to drop the speed of it there. What you might do is you might peel off an A and a B, and if it just the B's are back up if the A test is stuffed up for some reason. So all I'm doing is applying how I'd approach it as a research scientist. And as a research scientist, you take risks. You do things wrong, and essentially a research scientist is a failure artist. We fail with style, we fail with effort and ambition, and I can't tell you the number of times I failed something in the lab, and finally I produced something, they come in and say, "Oh, you've done it," and they only see sort of like the tip of the iceberg,
they go, and you sort of, oh, crap. Okay, so we've got the A and the B swabs, and then the C and D are stored for individually put aside. And you can sort of do things like mass analysis, conductivity analysis, to see whether the swab has actually been taken. Because there's, you might have a false negative if the swab hasn't been taken. There's quality control. So you've got that thing there. So some of the idea is that in the space of time with the equipment to do 50 tests, you've done 50 times 50, that's 2,500, is that right? 3,500, something along that order. What is the size of people? This is the size of your crowd, which you're getting to go to your AFL game. So what you say, your AFL game is saying, look, we're actually going to subsidise the tickets of everyone for the inconvenience of being swabbed before going in. And you can go in groups of family groups of 10. That's certified family groups of 10 from all done online. You turn up and you go. So the entire thing is that you can actually fit a whole lot more people than there are one with a social spacing. If you can get 10 in a group, or family group, and that's what people essentially want to do, you can imagine people would feel a real joy. Go, Hawthorn! Yay! Mate, they wouldn't do it. And also, what you want to do is that in the group of 10, you give them a finger pad, and they can order crap, the footy times, the chips, or whatever it is online, and you can go up and you deliver to that group of 10. So you can imagine that if you have clusters of 10 and socially distance between those clusters of 10 and open in and out, and all these groups of 10 have been swabbed, all of them. So I don't quite know how to do it, but in terms of the density stuff, so this is my fundamental. I've forgotten what it is, not my trick, my threat. My threat, maths is one of my threats. I can't remember anything, but maths and research, that's a double threat. You can sing and dance, maths is one of the threats. So you get them in groups of 10, clumps of 10 space across, that's much easier to manage. And you give them a little pager, and that pager says you can go out. So they go out, but you can only leave your seats when your pager goes. So you can start to control those groups of 10. Isn't that beautiful? And you've got them all 10, and so you have the crowd, and you do them in groups of what? 2,500? No, groups of 50 each. So you've got five groups of 10, and if you get a positive of that five groups of 10, so if you're doing it here, you can then go back and say, well, if I've got a positive, let's do a second type thing, because it's important to do it. You might do two anyway. So you don't do two at once, or you might. So let's say if the machine breaks or something like that, then you go back and then you identify which person the group is. And of course, what you do is at the end, that particular group doesn't get to, say a group's got positive and there's a positive person. That positive person is assumed to have infected that group of 10 people around there. So there's no point doing it. And they've got their page. At the end of the game, it says, stay put. You go up. And you say, well, we'll have to, we'll just waiting for the car park to go out so you don't infect anybody else. So you know that they're infected, and you keep them there. Isn't that beautiful? You keep them there with the pager and all that type of stuff. So that's a lot of technology. But look, there's a lot of positive aspects to it. So one of the things with these podcasts is I'll probably send this to the AFL people and see if they're interested. And the idea is that you've suddenly got a game with a whole lot of people, first ball game in the world, you get a lot of people watching it, and a process which is going ahead with a set of logic. And you try it like an experiment. It works, things that works. It's something which is up and tweaking. You can get more process up. And it's televised, so everyone is watching how it works. So it's a whole series of overlays if this is done properly. Now, the problem is that your companies here in Australia are going to go, I'm not quite sure. If they're advertised on national TV as being part of the solution, I think we might be able to get there. So that's the overall policy. So I did say that I'm not going to do brothels, because that's incomprehensible about, you know, all the social problems you'd solve getting it going through. But let's do international holidays. So what you do is you say, that's right, India or United States or something like that. If you can organise a US plane to land at this section here, we will take your entire group of people, break them up, and quarantine them at an Australian resort for 14 days, at which they're free to, that they've now been quarantined, and we'll do the similar type of thing of bulk testing them, perhaps every day, because we've now got a cheaper way of doing it. We'll bulk test them, and we will look after them if they have to be sick, but we'll profile them first before they're going in. And then at the end of it, we'll say, no more dirty aircraft, we'll put you in a clean Qantas aircraft and fly you out again. Now, in terms of Tourism Australia, this is an idea of, you've got a two-week holiday out of whatever hellhole you're in. You can come over here for a holiday, and when you leave your national carrier one, it's sort of a way of saying, you know, Qantas is clean, and we'll go across there. So the Qantas plane has been sitting there, especially if it's been parked for a while. So if it's been parked for a while, it can be clean and stuff like that. Fly out. And the entire thing is that this one-way traffic doesn't really matter all that much, because we're desperate to put Australian cargo in and get it to go out. And now there's a whole lot of equity issues there. But you can imagine, so the entire thing is that they're coming to Australia, but we've got enough space, enough tourist resorts, enough islands and stuff like that, that we can say, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to divide it up in such a way and have these people here that they can come here to an island. We do have islands with sharks around them, so to make sure, you know, can tell them there's sharks, and put them there, a tour company there. But it's unlike a tour ship, which is basically a petri dish. It's the reverse of it. It's a thing, and it's just part of the deal. And what happens is that as it goes along, it's tested. So initially it's testing, the first group is testing once a day, and ICU and stuff on board, ready to go. And the idea is that what you do is you perhaps say, we're going to offer nurses and ICU staff a holiday as well in this period of time, so they can go and look at it in those circumstances. Now, the idea is similar to the AFL, where people watch, look, and evolve, like a research lab. You watch and evolve this particular idea. So there's, you know, probably great places. Now, the modern era people don't spend 2 weeks in Australia at a holiday place. They spend 3 or 4 days. So and then they move, because they want to pack. We'll say, well, this is not that type of holiday. It's you're basically quarantined a bit. So you can be, we'll take you in groups of 50, right? So 50 friends, and a few groups like that, and we can quarantine. And so the dirty aircraft come in and out again with Australian goods on them. And then when they're nice and clean and they're all okay, we might let them do something in Australia if they're okay. But the moment they actually walk out of that quarantine area, we don't know whether they've picked up coronavirus from someone or whatever it is. I'm sure that we can model it. Now, let's look at the overall process. There's the fundamental research scientist aspect of it. There's this block and a block of politicians. They don't know any better. That they have worked out how to be elected, but that it means after that they sort of have taken a mental holiday, development holiday after it. But the testing companies worked out how to make money. They don't necessarily want to go ahead. So this is what is the actual unit, and it's the Glenbrook Advanced Concept Institute. So this is a group here in Glenbrook of just basically, well, it's got three aspects of it. Retired or recycled people, resources. Now, if you're retired and recycled, you can't be pressed into action. You can be repurposed. So retired, recycled, repurposed, that aspect of it. Then the idea of networking. And the networking thing is a work in progress. So it's like we're slowly working our internal network up and just probing out how to network. So it's recycle, reuse, repurpose networking. And the final thing is this fragment. Obviously, you can't solve a problem directly with the situation as it is there. It wouldn't be a problem if people could rearrange it and bring in resources and do things. And so you've got to chop it up and say, well, what if this? And why not this? And then rather than actually go, oh, angry, I'm going to write letters and try and do things, you try and sort of helicopter your way out. How can you helicopter that problem out situation? So one of the things is, why not, for one swipe, take four direct confirmation detailed analysis, the process there. And then if you're going to be sophisticated, why not be properly sophisticated and ensure that your swipe takes, you know, if you're going up for a snotty, runny nose, hopefully they've got COVID and you've got a bit of runniness there, having a bit of a negative pressure in there, it takes nothing to do that. Negative pressure is basically bulb, if you could do it. Rotate it, do various things like put it in a put it back in its in a holding sieve before it's done. I could build a machine for this, no worries. But you have a humidity meter, so if you put the bulb in and the humidity doesn't change, and putting it back in its centre, you know you haven't taken the swipe. So this just is quality control or stuff like that. To go ahead. Now, there's all this protocols and stuff like that, and I think people who think of the protocol are trained not to do anything different, because that's the main thing with when you're gowning up and stuff like that, is to actually meticulously do everything. It's sort of like mask. You've got a hole, but you've got to mask that whole square meter of hole to make sure you don't know where the hole's going to go. So you mask, and it's very thorough, repetitive. So the people trained to do it are not necessarily trained to think creatively. There is a creative solution, but the entire idea is that in your research lab, you go into research mode, you experiment and try it out. And that's what you do with, say, you're doing research stuff. You are in a research laboratory. The reason you're in a laboratory a mile away from everybody else is that when you think of something, it doesn't wind up in someone's living room, and it's a disaster. I think there is, I'll just finish off, there's a example of the original optical fibre lights. And these people said, look, if you put the optical fibres out like this, and then they sold the optical fibre lights, and then they got a phone call, and they said, this baby's got a piece of optical fibre stuck. It used to be glass optical fibre stuck in the mouth. And they said, shit, quick, get it back. And this is an example of something coming out of a research lab before it's actually been thoroughly tried and tested. So let's get back to things. We have the problem that for various things, the politicians have got a way of doing things, and that's they're doing it for their reason. People got a way of testing it, and they're doing it for their reasons. There's a COVID live developing it forward. There's a process to go forward here. Perhaps we can send this off to AFL. Perhaps to Qantas or some resort or something like that. Or having sent, I suppose, possibly first send it off to AFL, and if they say it's rubbish, you know, we just move on, and then go forward. And all up, if it doesn't really work, we'll go back to the drawing board. Like good little research scientists, we all are. And I think everyone out there is a research scientist at heart. It may not be necessarily working out a maths problem. It might be a human relationship problem. It just takes a lot to get through. So thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.